Money FM 89.3, best of the afternoon update. Sustainable Singapore on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon. You are listening to the afternoon update here on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, and now it's time for Sustainable Singapore. In news out this week, the Singapore Exchange Regulation, or SGX RegCo, said it's considering whether to mandate all listed companies to prepare their sustainability reports using a common digital format. Now, the frontline regulator is also preparing to incorporate International Sustainability Standards Board standards into the listing rules as mandatory disclosure requirements for listed companies when they are issued. So one thing is for certain, for listed and private companies here in Singapore and across the globe, ESG is top of mind for all stakeholders. Now, Marsh has launched an assessment tool that measures an organization's environmental, social and governance ESG performance. And we're going to find out more about it. To tell us more, we are joined on the line now by Dr. Graham Riddell, Climate and Sustainability Consulting Leader at Marsh Asia. Graham, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Rachel. Great to be here.
Good to have you with us. So, Graham, let's start off and talk about the current situation here in Singapore. As we know, SGX has mandated climate reporting from financial year 2022 on a comply or explain basis. So it's going to be a busy year for a lot of listed companies as they look to catch up on the sustainability front. But what are some of the gaps when it comes to sustainability reporting for firms that you see here?
Thanks, Rachel. Yeah, listed companies have lots to do in Singapore, as always. Some of the gaps, to be honest, a lot of the research recently, you know, there was a report that came out by SGX and NUS last year that said, to be honest, a lot of companies were improving what they were doing on sustainability, but the biggest gap really was around climate change and climate change reporting. So good to see that SGX has moved in that way to kind of, you know, close that gap and has been helping listcos quite a bit and helping them understand what that means. And it's really, you know, critical for companies to do this, not just really for a listing requirement, but, you know, you only need to look around and see what's happening in the world to see that the weather is a little bit different to what we're used to. Singapore's hot, but a colleague recently flew back from London, and he said it was the first time he's come from London and it was hotter when he got on the plane than when he got off in Singapore. And that's definitely something strange.
That's right. I think it hit over 40 in London this week. And at the same time, I had a look at my weather app and it showed that it was 25 in Singapore and raining. So a bit of a reverse there. So when you're talking about climate change reporting here in Singapore, what are some of the key aspects then that companies need to do to improve their positioning?
So I think it's really about focusing on their climate reporting to think of it as beyond the reporting exercise. Often sustainability reporting can just sit within the sustainability team. And we start thinking about climate change and how we're going to manage that and embed it into our strategies. It really becomes a cross-business imperative and a cross-business process. So, you know, a holistic engagement process by the sustainability team that's responsible for writing the report.
Okay.
But they need to be engaging with management, with the strategy team, with the risk team to ensure that it's really owned by the business. And then also making sure that they're using the right tools. There's a lot of data out there. It gets complicated quickly. So making sure that you have the tools that give you the granularity for how climate change might impact your business, both from a carbon perspective and also, you know, an extreme weather perspective is really important. And you want to be able to communicate that to your investors, both what your risks are, but also how you're managing it. Because you don't just want to tell everybody what's wrong. You want to be telling, you know, your investors and your stakeholders how you're really acting to reduce your risks.
So really taking a deeper dive and not paying lip service to it. To help companies do that, I understand that Marsh has launched an assessment tool that measures an organization's ESG performance. Can you tell us a little bit more about the tool, how it was developed, and which aspects of a business are analyzed?
Yeah, definitely. So the Marsh ESG Risk Rating, or ERR, as we refer to it colloquially. It's a free tool, so you can go onto our website and find it and you know, complete the tool if you want. And it's a tool to assess a company's performance across E, S, and G. And in particular, we're focused on the risk lens. So we're really looking at how well businesses are putting controls and policies in place to manage the risks to themselves and impacts on, you know, people in the environment, how well they're reporting on this externally, and how well they're testing the effectiveness of their policies and their controls. So it was developed through kind of an integration of lots mm-hmm. of different international standards. So the Global Reporting Initiative, which is what Singapore's sustainability reporting kind of references quite heavily, SASB, which you mentioned in your intro as well, TCFD, which we've just been speaking about too. So it integrates all of these frameworks to try to take some of the legwork out of ESG and the alphabet soup that it becomes quite quickly for companies. And really, you know, the difference is focused on letting companies tell their own story. Mm-hmm. A lot of what the ESG metrics and reviews and ratings that you can get online is, you know, done by a third party, scraping information off a website, looking at third party news articles and things like that to give an ESG score about a company. But the Marsh ESG risk rating is around, you know, letting a company tell their own story about what they're actually doing and disclosing that as they please.
Okay, but you do score the companies though, don't you?
Yes. So they complete the questionnaire, and then based on the assessment, there is a score that's given, and that's weighted based on the industry. So there's 60 different industry classifications in there, and there are scores based on, you know, how well you're performing on the areas that are most material to your industry.
Okay, so once businesses have done this, they've taken a look in the so-called green mirror, I believe, as you put it. What's next? I mean, it isn't always too easy to implement change, is it, now that the reports are out? They see perhaps where they could improve. What are some of the recommendations that you provide to corporates when they're starting off on their ESG journey?
Yeah, so starting off, it all comes down to, as I mentioned the word before, materiality mm-hmm. and sustainability. And materiality, we know it from the financial world, financial materiality, but in sustainability, it's a little bit different. And there's two dimensions to it. So one is, what are the issues that really impact your business? And often management and leadership have a view on that. And the other point is understanding what your stakeholders care about. And stakeholders is a really important word here, because it's not just shareholders. Mm. You are taking a look at your entire kind of stakeholder universe. So that includes your employees, your suppliers, your clients, of course, your investors and shareholders, and your financial partners, your banks, your insurers, and understanding kind of what they're focused on, and using those insights to prioritize, because ESG is massive. It's everything that a company touches on. So you really need to kind of drill down on a few key areas, understand your baseline, and that's where the ESG risk rating tool from Marsh helps, understanding where you are today, and setting an ambition. Where does management want to be? You know, there might be a little bit of competitor analysis in there, because ESG is considered a, you know, competitive advantage for, mm-hmm. for good performance there. So you might want to benchmark yourself against others and look at what you're doing. But the most important part really is, once you've got those areas, identify quite tangible actions and how you're going to measure what you're doing in that space. So the plan needs to be measurable, and it needs to be owned across the business, so you can really communicate externally what you're doing and why. And then with time, how well you're improving your performance.
We're speaking with Dr. Graham Riddle, Climate and Sustainability Consulting Leader at Marsh Asia. Now, Graham, trust and transparency are also key, aren't they? You can take all the tests or do all the analysis that you want, but you need to put your money where your mouth is when it comes to sustainability. And earlier this week, I mentioned SGX Regco earlier. They also mentioned that greenwashing is the biggest threat to sustainability. That was Tan Boon Jin, CEO of SGX Regco, said that. How concerned are you about greenwashing and ESG now that companies are kind of racing to catch up and, as you mentioned, look favorably to all of their stakeholders when it comes to ESG?
So I think greenwashing, it's not necessarily on the rise, but I think the scrutiny is on the rise. Mm. There's a lot more pressure from investors and regulators looking at this with a critical eye. And, you know, to be honest, that can only be a good thing. So I'm all for scrutiny on greenwashing, because we need to be kind of pushing forward, because otherwise we're going to get kind of stuck in a circle of press releases and not tangible action. And I think that's what we're seeing kind of investors expect, and the frameworks are catching up on that as well. So when we look at what is happening in the UK, the UK has announced kind of climate action metrics that they want to investigate, transition metrics, which they want to be included in disclosures to say, we're not just going to set a target for 2050. These are the specific metrics that we're going to disclose to show that we are on this journey. So I think we're going to see greater scrutiny and a lot more effort on the standards to kind of break this down a little bit. So it can't just be a broad target. We need to kind of demonstrate how we're achieving that over time. And the standards will catch up on that. And that, I hope, will reduce a lot of the concern around greenwashing. But scrutiny is good.
Okay, yeah, that's right. Taking a closer look. So perhaps that is the case then, that greenwashing may not be on the rise. It's just that there's more analysis and in-depth poking of a company when they disclose their ESG and their sustainability initiatives. And it goes beyond tree planting now, doesn't it? It takes a deeper dive into business. Do you think that's something that corporates understand now?
I definitely think so. And I think there's been a lot of work done around kind of standard setting and expectations around what net zero is, and frameworks like that. And companies are kind of getting on board that offsetting isn't, the beginning, it's the end. So one needs to put in the effort to decarbonize and reduce emissions as you go. And then for those which you can't, that's when offsetting comes in. And I think there's been a lot greater understanding of that over the last even 6 to 12 months, to be honest, than there was before. I think post Glasgow last year, a lot of effort has been kind of focused now on that. And the conversation isn't necessarily do we set a net zero target, it's how.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today and for sharing all your insights.
No problems. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Dr. Graham Riddell, Climate and Sustainability Consulting Leader at Marsh Asia. You're listening to Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.